Good morning. Hope you all are doing good. Everybody happy? Sound like you're happy. Before I open in prayer, I want to welcome you to a very special church service. We're celebrating the ministry of our pastor, Bruce W. Stewart, on the occasion of his retirement. More on that in a moment. But first, right now, I do need to cover some housekeeping items first. Please do read your bulletin. I hope you all have a copy of the bulletin. There is important information regarding VBS this coming week. That's all week. So check on that or see Pastor Lamb. Second, inside your bulletin is an order of service for this morning and for tonight. It's inserted there. Remember that tonight, our evening service is also a special banquet, very similar to our missions conference banquet, that style. It's at the Claremont City Center on Montrose Street. There are maps with the address on the Welcome Center in the foyer if you need that. And if you plan on coming tonight, please be sure that you're signed up on the attendance list in the foyer. And then also, if you signed up to bring a dish, please plan on having your food at the City Center at 4:30 p.m. So we're here today, primarily and always, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here today to represent and to communicate the gospel, always. But also we're here today to celebrate a faithful servant of God who has been representing Christ and preaching the gospel for 39 years. Well, 39 years here, actually longer than 39 years. Paul speaks of his own ministry in Colossians chapter 1, and he says this in verse 25, "I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." At Open Door, Pastor Stewart has fulfilled this same calling to make Christ known and to labor faithfully as God has worked through him. And in these days when it seems like everything is upside down, it is so very refreshing to know a man who has spent his life working to set the world back right again. But not just right philosophically or politically, but practically and eternally. Preaching the gospel into the lives of real people with real problems. And not just people here at home, but he has exercised his gifts around the world wherever he has had opportunity. Romans 13 says this in verse 7, "Render therefore honor to whom honor is due." And so today we honor Pastor Stewart because he has run the race with patience and has obtained a testimony of faith toward God and faithfulness to his calling. So with that all in mind, please join your hearts together with mine, and let's pray to open the service. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for our pastor and for his ministry here. We know his ministry is continuing. His ministry is not done, but his chapter with us has come to a close, and we thank you for the 39 years that he has labored in this place. I ask, Lord, that you would truly bless him. Wanda, as well, as they enter into a new chapter in life. I want to pray and thank you, Lord, that all the family can be here with special friends who have joined us. I pray, Lord, for their travels as they travel back soon, and we're just so thankful. We ask a blessing on each one. I ask, Lord, too, for everyone participating in the service today, musically and otherwise, a special blessing. Father, we just are so thankful that we can take notice, that we can, Lord, ponder the life and ministry of a man, of a couple, of a family who have dedicated themselves to the gospel, preaching the gospel, representing Christ in this local place. Lord, we truly rejoice in that, and let us always be mindful of this. Father, as we pray as well, we have to remember the sick, those who are not able to be with us today. We ask, Lord, that you would heal, guide, and direct. And Father, we ask all things, and we pray in the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to have you with us this morning. And we're going today have a music-filled service, and with some of Pastor Stewart's favorite hymns. And there is a little story about this first hymn, and a family, I do not want you to be offended, okay? But we got the list of Pastor Stewart's favorite hymns, and so one Sunday I pulled him aside and I said, Pastor Stewart, I've got your favorite hymns. Just looking over the style of these hymns, all we need is some flowers and a casket, and we can have a wonderful memorial service for you. And I said, Pastor, now surely you have a Onward Christian Soldier type of hymn that you like. And it didn't take long for him to give me this one. And I think we can all understand why. Victory in Jesus, as we stand in song worship and sing hymn number 596, Victory in Jesus.
He loved the air I knew.
God's people said.
I want to show you a photo. That's a nice photo. Note that two people, look at the photo. Two people in this photo have changed. And one has not changed. Can you guess which one that is? Wanda Stewart has certainly not changed, but we're not primarily talking about appearance. She has not changed in her service and in her faithfulness to the Lord and His church. The ladies of the church would at this time like to present now a tribute to Wanda Stewart.
Proverbs 11:16 says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor." It has also been said, Behind every great man is a great woman. So this morning, we want to acknowledge a great and gracious woman, Wanda Stewart. She has worn many hats during her journey here at Open Door. And we would like to simply describe for you some of those many hats that she has worn throughout her time in this church. Of course, we cannot simply name all of them, but here are just a few.
My hat represents the nursery, which I know holds a very special place in Wanda's heart. Her care that she shows and love to the children is reflected in many ways, whether it's sitting with a little boy and reading a story to him and teaching him about God's love, or sharing laughs and giggles with a little girl who's learning a new skill to feed herself Cheerios, or the fun part we have in the nursery is snuggling the littlest ones and holding them and giving them love and comfort and security as they seek the rest they need. But wait, that's not all. This hat also represents her love and ministry to the parents, grandparents, members or visitors who bring and entrust their children to her care. She always welcomes them with a warm smile and kind words of encouragement. But it doesn't end there. This hat also shows and reflects her ministry to those of us who walk beside her to serve in this ministry. She graciously shares her friendship, her fellowship, her kind, godly instruction on the basic, practical things that we deal with in the nursery, always pointing us to everything that we do to honor God. From all those children who now have their own children in the nursery, and those parents who now have their grandchildren in the nursery, and to all of us ladies who have served with you faithfully, we thank you. We love you, Wanda.
Good morning. I have the privilege to speak about Open Door's mentorship program. And mentoring differs from friendship in that a friend may placate us while during our time of need, while a mentor imparts biblical wisdom with loving admonishment and encouragement. A mentor leads by their virtuous example, and the mentor at Open Door that excels us all is Mrs. Wanda Stewart. She has been so faithful to take every opportunity to edify each and every one of us in the Lord, pouring into us godly characteristics of the Christian life and helping to make us true disciples of Christ. Miss Wanda, as one of your spiritual children, I value you above rubies, and I shall rise up and call you blessed. As one of your mentees, I understand that you are not laying down your baton, but you are passing it off, entrusting that responsibility to those of us who have benefited from your faithful ministry. It is now our lap to run this race with patience, pushing forward and striving to emulate the Christ-like example that Mrs. Stewart has been to us all. I love you.
I am not going to look at you. Or we will never get through it. Okay. So another ministry hat that Mrs. Stewart wears is Ladies Bible Study. For about 25 years, she has been a teacher of good things. She has, week after week, invested spiritually in the ladies of this church and even ladies in our community who had gotten word of her Bible study. She's taken us through the books of Genesis, Proverbs, Daniel, and Hebrews, as well as through series such as the Milk, Meat, Bread, and Fish discipleship studies. And honestly, those were just in the past few years, so there's a whole lot of other Bible studies from 23 years in addition. But her goal with each of these Bible studies was for us to dig deep into the Word of God, to study it, to understand it, to show its relevance, and be able to put it into practice, to grow in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and to further our love for the Bible and the precepts contained within it. I know from talking with her so many times that each week she would study and pray and study and pray, discuss some with Pastor, and then study and pray some more. As one lady in the Bible study recently told me, Mrs. Stewart was very committed. She was there do or die, and she put her whole self into it, whether it was just one person in class or a whole room full of ladies. This was especially true when COVID hit, and meeting in person in a small room twice a week was no longer practical. And yes, that's right, she taught the same class twice a week so that the ladies who went to work or had kids and could not come during the morning could come to the same class at night. But back to when COVID hit, Mrs. Stewart stepped out of her comfort zone and into an auditorium and in front of a camera so we could continue in our studies. There were even many times when she was going out of town and she would teach class in the morning and then record another class or two for the next week or weeks so we never missed a beat. Mrs. Stewart encouraged us to not just come to class, but to read and reread the sections of scriptures each day. During the last Bible study on the Epistle to the Hebrews, she had us reading and studying Hebrews and Leviticus simultaneously. Now, that was a serious challenge and a very deep study, and one that I personally may not have undertaken if it wasn't for her encouragement and enthusiasm and her dedication to teaching. So, thank you, Mrs. Stewart, for your faithfulness to the ladies' Bible study. Thank you for all the time and effort you invested and the spiritual lives of the ladies of this church, and thank you for your faithfulness in all things.
Good morning. I am representing the hat of hospitality, which is, when you think of Wanda, you think of her hospitality acts. In the world, it's generally thought of in the hotel and restaurant industries, but in the Christian world, sometimes it's thought of as a macaroni casserole. It's so much more than a macaroni casserole. Wanda has a way of reserving a seat at the table she has saved for you. If you all can remember back to high school, first day in the big school, you go to the cafeteria, you pick up your lunch, and you look around, all the sea of faces. Do I know anyone? Does anyone know me? And then you hear a voice, over here, there's a seat for you. That's how Wanda makes you feel, with her hospitality. For the newlyweds, Wanda has offered a piping hot lasagna and Christian marital recommendations gleaned from many years of experience. For the new mother, Wanda brings a French toast casserole with helpful suggestions for a new family. For the graduating teen, Wanda brings pizza and cheerful encouragement for the new adult. For the missionaries, I believe her heart, Wanda prepares feasts of their favorite foods, which she always asks ahead of time. One year we prepared a full Thanksgiving feast because our missionaries had been on the field and missed the turkey, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie. To the new widow, Wanda brings a chicken pot pie and comforting words for their new table. To our community of Claremont, Wanda brings meals and prayers for saving grace. Just at VBS alone, she makes sure she feeds all those volunteers that come from work and then go teach a class. So they have a full meal in between. She's always thinking of those in her church. In all phases of life, she has been there. In a selfless manner, she has prepared countless meals. In a God-honoring manner, she has prayed over the food and the recipient. And in a Christ-like manner, Wanda has given more than a casserole. She has saved a seat for you at her table. This is true hospitality. Thank you, Wanda.
The final hat to share with you is that of a pastor's wife. What is a pastor's wife? When the Lord calls a man into the ministry, he calls the entire man, including his wife. There's no standard approach to the role of a pastor's wife. Her primary task is to personally support her husband in the ministry that God has called him to. One person said, she keeps her husband's long hours, shoulders his pressures, feels his disappointments, and celebrates his successes often as deeply as he does. This is the role of a pastor's wife. Miss Wanda is a loving spouse who sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. Make sure I did this right. She was a homeschool mom who spent all day teaching, guiding, and herding cats. Oh, I mean, girls. She's a lead encourager who alone can lift the spirits of her husband. And she's a chief counselor who alone knows the trials and challenges her husband faces. She's an organizer, a sounding board, and a friend. A pastor's wife cannot preach, but she examines and influences all his sermons. She cannot be ordained, but she experiences all the trials of the ministry. She cannot be called pastor, but she proudly stands beside the one who is. To be a pastor's wife is a difficult job, but it is a privilege. She's a beautiful picture of Christ who made himself of no reputation, Philippians 2:7. Although her role is not described in Scripture, she is indispensable support to her husband and to the church. Wanda Stewart has this kind of ministry. She has served the Lord here at Open Door for 39 years, supporting her husband and exercising her own spiritual gifts as a true example of godly Christian womanhood. We love you, Miss Wanda.
Thank you.
to embarrass Miss Wanda by asking her to come up here to the front. We have a little presentation for her. Just come up right here. Stand right here in the front. We have 39 red roses for 39 years of ministry presented to her by all of her grandchildren who are coming out right now. Cademan is doing some exploring, but also we have roses for four girls. I have to tell you, the kids that walk along with their parents in ministry, they feel and they do and they experience in ministry, so we want to present red roses to the Stewart girls, who, by the way, you see the photo in the foyer. I hope you all were able to enjoy that photo, too. Let's hear a round of applause for the Stewart family. You may be seated. Thank you. At this time, Chandler Blake is going to come, and he has a tribute for his GP.
All right, hello. Most of you know me, but if you don't, I'm Chandler Blake, as I've already been introduced. I was asked to make a speech and was given the honor of doing it for my GP in Wawa, and I was originally asked to make like 3 or 5 verses about them, nothing crazy, and I immediately thought of Proverbs, and I look through there, and I start writing down what feels like 30 minutes, probably only 5 minutes, but I look down, and I have about 30-plus verses, and I ask my mom, I'm like, how many? 4 or 5. All right, well, I have like 30 verses describing 2 people, and I've got to narrow it down for time. So I narrowed it down to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And it reads, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." There was a time where I was maybe 7 or 8, and me and GP were going up to Georgia to get Mater. Quite the adventure. We were going through a toll, and I remember him asking to hand me a track. And we pull up, and the lady is standing there. We hand her the money in the track. She doesn't pay attention to it. She just puts it to the side and says, "You look like a pastor." And he laughs, and I remember this. And he goes, "Well, you could say that, because I am." And I remember him wearing this pineapple Hawaiian shirt and thinking that there's no way you could look at that and think that that's a pastor unless how he talked and how he acted just spoke the message of Christ. And in my personal life, from day to day, they would call me, and still do, and ask how my day's going, ask if I had any tests, pray for me, text me encouraging verses, and the testimony they give to all their grandchildren is incredible. And the way they act, talk, and speak just screams and speaks the message of Christ. And so, GP and Wawa, I love you. And GP, we tight.
I can't believe Mater made it from Georgia here. Wow. If you don't know who Mater is, it's a Dodge truck that the pastor has that still has the furniture company still on the side of it where it belonged to. And I don't know if it loses more rust or oil as it goes down the road. I'm not sure which. It leaves a trail of both. We're now about to sing another favorite hymn of Pastor Stewart's. If you look in your bulletin, if you're a music reader, it's in your bulletin. If you know the hymn, you can just go by the screens. And it's Majesty, and we will sing it not once, but twice as we stand and sing Majesty. Pastor Stewart, Wanda, the choir has prepared this piece of music especially and specifically for you. And we're going to give it to you with our blessing and as a love offering, as we love both of you.
Thank you. Throughout the morning and as we've gathered here, I'm sure everybody has thought of times over the years where Pastor and Wanda have been directly involved in our lives. And I'd just like to mention my two personal favorites. I was saved in the church here. I was married in the church here. So Pastor and Wanda, for your involvement in Deb's and my life, I thank you. But now I'd like to take us back in a trip in time, back to November 8th, 1992. It was the dedication of the building here, a dedication of it to the glory of God and to the use of the church that has been established here. If you look by the front foyer doors off to the right, there is a plaque that is embedded in the wall commemorating that day. There was a newspaper article written in the Orlando Sentinel, which is I'm going to read, concerning the dedication services. The headline reads, "Baptist Congregation Prepares for Dedication Ceremony Sunday. Members of Open Door Baptist Church will hold dedication services on Sunday." It was 9 long years ago that a former auto racer led an 8-day tent revival in an open field at State Road 50 and U.S. Highway 27. After that revival, Pastor Bruce Stewart founded the Open Door Baptist Church in a nearby home. His first congregation, 9 adults and 2 children. But that was then and this is now. On Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Stewart will lead dedication services for a new $500,000 church built by scores of volunteers on 22 acres north of Claremont on U.S. 27. Not only is the building architecturally elegant, it is free of debt. The 7,200-square-foot building has a sanctuary with a seating capacity of more than 250, a large sound booth, 2 nursery suites, and 4 large classrooms for Sunday school. Now, concerning the fact that the church was built debt-free, the article states, "The building has not come easy. There were periods where little work was done because no money was available to purchase building materials. But through the dedication, perseverance, blessing the Lord, the building was completed, dedicated, and occupied." Now, the article goes on. Pastor Stewart was raised in Mount Dora, where he graduated from high school in 1970 with a dream of a career in auto racing. Stewart said he traveled around the world working for the famed Darrell Waltrip racing team for 6 years. After his salvation, Pastor Stewart said he felt a call to the ministry and earned a degree in theology from Liberty Baptist Institute in Lynchburg, Virginia. After that, he became an associate pastor at Liberty Baptist Church in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. Now, in case you didn't know, Pastor, it says here, where he met his wife, Wanda. I guess they had trouble back in those days, getting things right. After serving 3 years in Pennsylvania, Stewart returned to Lake County. He said 2 area pastors, Pastor John Chinnick of Victory Baptist Church in Eustis and Pastor Bob Ware of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Orlando, convinced him to try to found a church in the Claremont area. It was in 1983, after the tent revival, that the group moved to a private home. However, 3 weeks later, a Claremont City official said that the meeting could no longer be held in a private home. As a result, Stewart rented a store at 770 Montrose Street. The first service was held on a freezing Christmas day, and the small congregation kept warm with the aid of 2 small kerosene heaters. In 1989, the store was sold, forcing the congregation to move to another rented building at 1705 South Grand Highway. But tomorrow, a new era begins when the congregation moves into its first permanent home. It moved in, it occupied the building, and the church is still occupying the building.
Amen.
Praise God. And thank you, Pastor.
Hymn number 380, How Firm a Foundation, as we all stand and sing.
Pray for the offering. I just wanted to say, you know, that story of the founding of the church, that home that they couldn't stay in, the illegal homeowner that broke the law by having that church service in her home is here. Miss Barb Camp Sr., right back there. Miss Barb and her husband, Harry Camp, came down from Pennsylvania, and they're lawbreakers, you know, just fighting the government and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to ask Brother Les Stevenson if he would come and lead us in prayer for the offering.
Let's give thanks for the offering. Oh, Father, this morning we are grateful that you brought us into your house. Lord, we know that this is a special day, and we want to celebrate it as such. Lord, we know that as we are here, one of the reasons that we have this time is because we want to give back to Thee some of what You have given to us. But Father, how we ask that First of all, we would present ourselves before you as a living sacrifice, which is holy and would be acceptable in your sight. So, Lord, as we have at this time reached this time to give back to thee a portion of what you bless us with, how we would pray that the church will use this for the further extension of your work here. So, God, help us now that all of us will give not only dollars and cents, but ourselves as much. And, Father, we just pray again that you just do for us more than we are able to ask or do, as we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
My name is Leah. I am Pastor Stewart's oldest daughter. For those of you who may not know me, this is my husband, David. You know, there's a pattern in Scripture, and there's a pattern, if you've been walking with God for any period of time, that manifests itself very early. And it's this principle that often God calls his children and gives us very little information about what he's about to do. think of Abraham, right? Called from Ur of the Chaldees. He knows that God is leading him, but where? The children of Israel being called to a promised land. They're wandering in the wilderness for years and years. Where's the promised land? David, anointed as king, sleeping in the caves in En-Gedi. Where's his crown? But he knows that it was the will of God for him to be king. Bruce and Wanda Stewart, 39 years ago, leave Pennsylvania, which if you talk to them at all, they will tell you they loved it there. They had friends there that they are still friends with. Called to Florida, know very little about it except for that dad was to be a pastor and God was going to use them to start a church. And if you read Hebrews 11, there's a litany. We call it the Hall of Faith, right? Because it's this long list of people who followed God through paths unseen, not knowing where he was leading, not knowing how they would get there or what God was going to do once they got there. And then you go into chapter 12, and the author of Hebrews, whoever you believe that to be, the author of Hebrews talks about that seeing that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, talking to us. And we have the benefit in our walk with Jesus of from the scripture and from the lives of those who have been walking with him ahead of us, of seeing his faithfulness. So that when we are called to paths unseen, we trust. When it is dark and we're sleeping in caves, and where's the crown that was promised to us? We trust. And we say, through paths I cannot see, his will is my delight. Your shepherd's voice discern. You see the road he bids you take, but not where it will turn. You see his footprints in the dust. Just follow in his steps and trust. Through paths I cannot see, when shadows veil the night, whatever God ordains for me, his will is my delight. O soul of mine, endure the silence of the night. His promises are just as sure as in the morning light. And on his promises depend that every trial has an end. Through paths I cannot see, when shadows veil the night, whatever God ordains for me, his will is my delight. O soul of mine, rejoice, the day is drawing near, when you shall awaken to the voice you thought was silent here. And on the road you could not see, he led you to eternity. Through paths I cannot see, when shadows veil the night, whatever God ordains for me, his will is my delight. Through
God's eye cannot see. When shadows veil the night, whatever God ordains for me, His will is my delight. His will is my delight. His will is my
delight. We're going to be here for a while. My name is Pat Creed. For those that do not know me, I am an associate member of Open Door. June and I came here the first time in 1995, 27 years ago. We fell in love with the place, Bruce and Wanda family, and have enjoyed that relationship all these years. I can remember the first time we came for a missions conference, and we stayed with the Stewarts in their house. 1995, those girls were much smaller and I'm sure much more active. They all stayed in the bedroom next to us, and it was a riot. They were in and out windows. And the conversation all week by Bruce was, "Girls, watch your tood." And that was the beginning. And we've enjoyed our relationship over these years. When I got the call a few weeks ago to inviting me to be a part of this, it was an honor to be invited and participate. And my mind started rolling what to say. And I didn't have a problem knowing what to say. It was what not to say. But I got thinking, what am I going to call him? Can't call him Pastor Bruce anymore. Maybe I can just call him Old Man Bruce. Over the Hill Bruce. Put out the Pastor Bruce. So if you'll permit me, I'll just call him Bruce. That's what we call each other when we're together. But we've had a wonderful relationship. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 20. After thinking and trying to decide on where to go and what to do. Lord, let me settle on this portion of Scripture and this particular farewell. We see a number of different farewells in the Bible. You think about Moses and Joshua and Jacob and his boys, and even David and Jonathan, and some wonderful farewells. But this is a farewell that I think we can use to just sort of describe the life and the ministry here of the Stewarts, particularly Bruce as pastor. And this is the word that came to mind to me. The word commit. You can use the word commit, commitment, committed in a lot of different ways. But when you look at the life of Paul, you don't have to try to find a definition. His life defines his commitment very clearly. And as I looked at this portion of Scripture and thought about that matter of commitment, so many things here I could relate to Bruce and his ministry and his commitment to ministry over these years. But here's the thought I want you to consider in this matter of commitment. Commitment being a time when you give over the power of your life to another person. And that's what Paul did. Do you remember in Acts chapter 9 when he met Christ? He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, probably a lot of people say that, but we know when Paul said it, it meant something. Because his life proves that he meant what he said. "Lord, I'm yours. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. I am committing my life to you." Over 39 years ago, that's what Bruce and Wanda did there in Pennsylvania. God said, "I want you in Clearmont, Florida." Now, I want you to think about that word commit. I can look at my own life, and I can look at probably 5, maybe 6 times in my life when I made a major commitment. Now, there were a lot of other commitments made, a lot of other decisions made. But as I look at my life, I can go to those 5 places and know that all other decisions were made easier because of those major decisions. Here's my life at this time, to go where you want me to go. And when we go where he wants us to go, then what he wants us to do is made easier. The decisions are made easier. And 39 years ago, they made the decision to come to Clearmont. And it's been a 39-year ride. A lot of other decisions made. A lot of other things decided upon. But they all fit into that one major decision. To come to Clearmont and to be used to start Open Door Baptist Church. And the people that have been saved and the lives that have been changed and the families that have been united and reunited and the things that you have enjoyed over these years because of the commitment that was made at that time in their lives. Now, I want to look at this portion of Scripture and some things that are said here about Paul, because it was so easy for me to see these and relate them to Bruce and his ministry as I have seen it personally over the years. Now, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. He's in a boat, and he on his way down the Aegean, on the way to the Mediterranean, headed to Jerusalem, trying to get there before Pentecost. I'm sure because he wants to be there when the people gather so he can present Christ, maybe see old friends, associates, but back at the mother church. And on the way, they stop at port after port after port, and they stop at Miletus. Miletus was near Ephesus. And when he got to this particular place, he sent for the elders at the church at Ephesus and asked them to come and just meet with him for a while. And as they met with him, he sort of reminisced with them. And as he did, he shares with us some things about his life that I think fit the life of Bruce Stewart and his ministry. And that should be an encouragement for us to consider the commitments he wants us to make. So let's just work our way through this. Father, we ask you to take this portion of Scripture and use it to stir our hearts, cause us to look at Paul's life and to look at the life of your servant, Bruce Stewart, and the way he has ministered and the effect of that one decision made 39 years ago has affected his ministry over these years. Bless these next few moments for each one of us. Stir our hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. In verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now, once they met with him, then he started talking to them about what they had had together, those years he spent with them. And I want to just give you some things that his commitment determined in his ministry. First of all, he was committed to God and his people. He was committed to God and his people. Notice what he says in verses 18 and 19. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I had been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Now, in these verses, we see his commitment to God and his commitment to the people. We find that a right commitment to God will give us a right understanding to people. When we have made the right commitment to be where God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do, then our attitude toward people, our commitment to people, our desire for people will change. And it will cause us to have a desire to see people's lives change. Now, I want to give you a couple of ways this happens. First of all, it gives us a better understanding of people. A better understanding of people. Now, to come to a place that we realize the difference between a lost person and a saved person. Why a lost person is going to make the decisions they make the way they make them. And then the life of a saved person who has the Holy Spirit living within them. To have that understanding. When God puts you in a place and he wants you to serve people and lead people and minister to people, then he gives you a greater understanding of those people. I heard one pastor say, "If it wasn't for these people, I could be a great pastor." Yeah, you know, I don't know that anybody even said that, when we are called to a place, when you make that commitment to a place, then God gives you an understanding of people, a desire to meet their needs, a desire to help them, a desire to serve them. But there's a second thought that I want us to see here, and that is that that commitment will cause us to realize that people are not to determine where we serve God and how we serve God. People do not make that decision for us. The Holy Spirit of God makes that decision. Now, why is that important? Because there are people who make decisions because of situations. Trouble comes, I need to get away from this place. If I could just get to a place where the grass is greener, everything would be better. And we are not to make our decisions based upon how people treat us. We're not to make our decisions upon what people say to us or about us. We're to make our decisions about where we serve by what God tells us to do. And when we have the right relationship with God, then we will not make decisions to come or go based upon how people treat us. Now, why is that important? Why do I even say that? When a person spends 39 years in the same place, you can mark it down, there are heartbreaks with people. There are difficulties. There are traumatic experiences. And when a person comes to a time like this in their life where they have stayed for 39 years, you can mark it down, they did what God wanted them to do. Paul did not make his decisions on the way people treated him. If he did, he had quit long ago. He kept right on going because God had directed him. His commitment was to God. And his commitment was to serve the people as long as the people would permit him to serve them. Well, we see another thing in Paul's commitment. A commitment to sharing God's word. A commitment to sharing God's word. Look at what it says here in verses 20 and 21. Paul said to these pastors, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ." A commitment to sharing God's word. Sharing God's word demands an understanding of God's word. You have enjoyed all these years a man that knew and knows the word of God. You have sat here over these years, and you have had the privilege, every person that has been a part of Open Door, you have had the privilege of being fed God's word. Now, what does that determine? That determines a man that will study God's word, that will spend time in God's word, that will dig into God's Word. That takes time. That takes work. That takes determination. And it takes a person who says, God, give me what I need. And if you'll give me what I need, I'll take it to the people you have given me to serve. And I'll give it to them. And when God changes that man's life, the people that he loves and serves will have the opportunity to hear how God changed him and how God fed him. As I have watched this ministry over the years, the one thing I have taken from it is there's a man that stands in this pulpit that studies the Word of God and feeds the people the Word of God. And not only did I experience that here, but I was able to see him do the same thing with missionaries as he and Wanda would travel with us to the islands and give missionaries things that just encouraged them and helped them. And then as he came to Independent Baptist Church, where I'm a member in Clinton, Maryland, and preached mission conference there and just fed the people, you knew he was a man committed to God's Word. But not only that, he gave the truth of salvation. Notice what Paul said there. In verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Bruce Stewart has presented a salvation that includes repentance. Not just a salvation that says, anybody here want to go to heaven, say I do. But a salvation that says you must realize that you are a sinner, separated from Almighty God by that sin, and you must have a sorrow for that sin and a desire for that to be changed in your life. And that is a privilege when there's someone that stands and presents that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. That word poor there has the thought of a beggar. A beggar. In order to be saved, someone has to come to God realizing, I have no way to heaven within myself. I have nothing to offer God. And I come begging God for the spiritual thing that I need for my life to be changed. That's a privilege to have a man to teach that and preach that. A commitment to God's Word. And then another thing we see is that this commitment was a commitment that surpassed his concern for self. That surpassed his concern for self. Notice beginning in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Do you see that? But none of these things move me. Neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It did not matter what anyone thought or said. Paul felt he had to go to Jerusalem. He was going to listen to God no matter what happened. In Acts chapter 9, verse 16, you remember what was said about Paul. Christ who said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Hey, listen. 39 years has to include some difficulty. But commitment to God causes a person to set their own desires aside and be ready to just stay faithful to God. I read about a missionary. His name was John Calvert. This was years ago. He was a young missionary called to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. He took his family and boarded a boat after family and many others had tried to discourage him from going. You'll die there, they said. On the boat as they traveled toward those islands, the captain of that boat just pleaded with him, don't go there. You will die and all of those with you. And he said to that captain, we died before we left. That's what commitment is. Commitment is when we put our concerns in his hands, our life in his hands. And you have been blessed with a pastor all of these years that has served God and his own concerns many times set aside, own comforts. That's what commitment does. That's what I have seen in Bruce Stewart. And then a last thing we see, commitment that produced a sense of well-being and clear conscience. Well-being and clear conscience. Look at verse 26 and 27. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. One of these days, all of us are going to have to look back. And what a blessing to look back with a clear conscience. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say Bruce Stewart can look back and say, I never made a mistake. I never did anything that I regret. But I think I can stand here and say his commitment to come here because he knew that's where God wanted him has caused him to live a life and serve you folks over the years, and now he can walk away saying, I did my best. I did my best. I was faithful to God. And as I thought about this, I thought about some national pastors down in the Dominican Republic. I spend a lot of my years there now with those people, and there's young men. They spend their life dreaming of playing baseball and getting a contract to come to the States and play in the professionals. And there's some nationals that have gone through the churches there, and And they've had scouts from teams, Cincinnati Reds, others that have said to them, we'd like to sign you. And there's some that have said, God has called me to preach. I can't sign. And they have given their lives to stay there and turn their backs on the possibility of the millions of dollars that would be available. But you know what they can do now? One day they can look back with a clear conscience and say, I made the right decision. Commitment. That's the one thing that I decided to emphasize for Bruce Stewart and Wanda and what I've seen over these years. The thrilling thing about it is you and I have been blessed by just being a part of their lives. Amen. Just seeing that commitment. God has privileged us by permitting us just to rub shoulders. You have been privileged to sit here week after week after week and see someone that has been faithful to God, committed. Someone that one day said, it's yours. You make the decisions now. You tell me where to go. You tell me what to do. And we have benefited from it. And from my viewpoint, I can honestly say he has kept back nothing that is profitable for you. And the people have sat here over the years. Amen.
Amen.
I count it a privilege to call him my friend and to call them our friends. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this special day and letting us be a part of what we've seen and heard, not just today, but over these years. We count it a privilege. And we want to ask you to place your hand upon Bruce and Wanda, and that you would continue to use him in the lives of people as you lead him to churches where he will preach and teach and share you and share the things you've put in his life over the years. I pray that you would protect them and that you would bless them in a very special way. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
We did want to have a moment of invitation. You know, when we think of commitment, it's a little intimidating, isn't it? Because something is being asked of you. But remember, we make commitments all the time. You have like a car loan, right? I mean, you have a mortgage. You took a job. We make commitments all the time. But the minute the Bible requires us to commit ourselves, God asks us to commit something, now all of a sudden it seems different, doesn't it? And that's not really fair to God. The wonderful thing, and I love how this service has come to this point, because we have in Pastor Stewart and Wanda living examples of commitment. And listen, it's not just a commitment. It's a series of commitments, right? I mean, that's what life is. But I think what we're talking about right now are two commitments. One maybe is the first commitment to Christ that you'll ever make. Maybe you're religious. You come to church because you think it's the right thing to do, but you've never actually committed yourself to Christ. Why don't you think about the things that you've heard here today? Why don't you think about what Brother Pat has preached this morning? And why don't you just take a moment as we pray, and then we're going to sing after we close in prayer. You can take a few moments just to make that commitment right where you're at. Or maybe you've made that commitment a long time ago. You walked away from God. And maybe you're not serving Him right now. Maybe it's time for you to recommit yourself to get back on track. There's all sorts of commitments you can make. But just make the first commitment. Don't worry about being a pastor. Don't worry about planting a church. You worry about what you need to do right now. Because I can testify myself, the commitment that God is going to ask you to make is just one little step, one footstep. It is totally within your power to do that. That's all He asks of you. And I think we can do that today. But this is now your choice. The ball's in your court. Amen? I think that would be a great way to honor Pastor and Miss Wanda. Is by all of us making whatever commitment we need to make before the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Lamb if he could come and close us in prayer, and then Brother George is going to lead us in a closing hymn.
I would encourage you to join your hearts with mine as we close in prayer. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, as we quiet ourselves for this moment and reflect on Dr. Creed's message and what Pastor Farley just said about commitment, the commitment that's been exemplified for us in Pastor Stewart and Miss Wanda, and the commitment, Lord, that you are putting before us right now. That's a very personal thing. And indeed, Lord, you are extending that invitation to each and every one of our hearts. It's not all the same. That commitment that you're asking from us is very personal and individual. I pray for those that haven't received Christ as their Savior, that they would simply make that commitment by trusting Jesus and asking Him to save them from their sin. For us that are saved, I pray that we would respond to the commitment that you've set before us to carry forward. Lord, this is indeed a day that we have much to be thankful for, and it's not over, and we're grateful for that. We look forward to the service this evening, the banquet this evening. But we thank you, Lord, for all of it, this day of remembrance, this day of recognition, this day of celebration, for it is truly all of those things. And so, Lord, as we join our hearts together, we ask that you'd help us to remember. Help us to remember the sweet and precious fellowship that we have enjoyed over the years with Pastor Stewart and Miss Wanda. For some, that's been many, many, many years. For some here this morning, it's been a relatively short period of time. But whether long or short, we have been affected, each and every one of us, for the better. For we have been touched by them through your work in their lives. Help us to remember all of those things. And in those remembrances, help us to recognize the godly example of unfeigned faith and faithfulness in both Pastor Stewart and Miss Wanda. An example that has indeed been set before us. And as we reflect on that, Lord, help us to celebrate. Yes, celebrate them for what they mean to us and for the love that we have one to another. And how you have made them so unique and beautiful and wonderful in Christ. And let us celebrate what you have and continue to do in and through them. For through them you have touched us with your love. And through them you have strengthened us, each of us individually and corporately as a local church, that we may be faithful as we follow Jesus and make that commitment to not only follow Him faithfully, but to help others to do the same. We celebrate all of this, Lord, and we thank you for the stewards. It's our prayer, Lord, that you would continue to bestow your abundant, superabundant grace upon both of them, the grace of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, that you would continue to envelop them in your love, the love of the Heavenly Father, and that you would continue to allow them day in and day out that sweet, sweet communion made possible through your Holy Spirit. That is our prayer for them today and always. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Pastor Stewart and Miss Wanda. And we give these thanks and we ask these blessings, as always, in the name of our Savior, the precious Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 470, I have decided to follow Jesus. 470.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
O'clock, Claremont City Center. Dr. Bill Rice is going to preach tonight. Bring your food. Don't miss it. You are dismissed. God bless you.